intersex is an umbrella term for people who are born with sexual anatomy that doesn't fit typical definitions of male or female. These can include genitals, hormone levels, and chromosome patterns. Intersex people might identify as a man, a woman, both, or neither. What they're often not, though, is included in the LGBTQ community. It's a fight Tetena Nwadu has faced since she was a child. Tetena is an intersex woman who was raised as a boy in Gutu, Zimbabwe. Tetena, take me back to your childhood in Zimbabwe. You were raised as a boy for about 10 years. What are your first memories in terms of how you connected who you are to other people?
I remember just failing miserably to connect to other boys, and I tried so many times. And I couldn't understand or contemplate why I was being raised as a boy, because I knew from very early on that I was not a boy.
As you grew up in Zimbabwe, did you hear about LGBTQ people? Was that something that was even on your mind?
Not at all, because in Zimbabwe, LGBTQI plus lives are criminalized, so it's taboo to even talk about it.
Did your parents ask you to keep your condition a secret?
Oh, for sure. And I do understand why they say that, because there was a belief actually one time that we are the ones that stops the rain from coming, and so we are bad luck. We're a bad omen to a community. So all of those things surrounding that condition made them feel like they couldn't allow me to be out with it because they knew it was going to be horrible for me.
So after years of expressing that you really felt like a girl, not a boy, even though you're being raised a boy, you eventually get your period at age 14. And so you have something very concrete to say, you know, I think I'm a girl.
I have to say for me, although I knew I wanted a concrete proof to say, okay, this is just not in my head, because people would react to me as if I was crazy. So when I had a period, for me, it was like an aha moment. And, you know, Oprah Winfrey always talks about an aha moment. And I think that was my aha moment to get a period, because it was like, you see what I've been telling you? You know, I can get a period.
And how did your parents react? What did they do?
My mother tells me she cried a lot, and she just felt like she had not listened to me when I was telling her. I think it was one of those times she had a turning point. It was quite a positive thing for it to happen to my family, because they were also at one point in doubt of what I was telling them and what I was going through.
Did you then start to dress as a woman and identify as a woman?
I had always dressed as a woman. I always tried to dress in the middle. I always knew that if I dressed in the middle, then I wouldn't have the community saying, why is that boy dressing as a girl? But then after the period thing, I was like, I am not dressing as a boy anymore, because I cannot hide this anymore.
There's a particular point where you're 16 years old and your mother saw you in public and she saw that you were wearing a bra. What was her reaction?
She flipped. Oh, boy, that was, I'll never forget that. Because she used to tell me to wear things that don't show that my breasts were growing. And then one day I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm proud of my breasts and I want to show them off. And my mother, her face flashed. I mean, she's a black woman, but I'll tell you, she turned red. she was so angry and said, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to embarrass yourself? And why do you have to embarrass me? And it was such a painful moment for me.
Did you have anyone you could confide in or talk to during those times?
I did not have anybody because I couldn't trust anyone. So I didn't have a safe place to go. And I stopped even writing in diaries because I was so scared of someone stealing that diary and reading all the stuff. So I didn't really confide in anyone.
But now, a few years later, you leave Zimbabwe and move to South Africa. Was that a better place for you to be? And could you then represent yourself as a woman?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had gone to South Africa to try and get a job and also to find doctors that could explain to me more about my intersex situation. And when I moved to South Africa, that's when I met a lot of people in the LGBTQ community, people who were different and who had struggled in being themselves. And I related to that struggle, of course.
Was that also the first time you ever heard the term intersex?
Yes, that was the first time.
Now, you lived in South Africa for 4 years, and then you returned to Zimbabwe. How did that go?
It was a conscious decision that I made because I wanted change for my own people, because I thought, okay, in South Africa, I'm working with all these communities, but no one is doing that back at home. And my father always taught me that charity begins at home.
Eventually, you decided to move to the United States. Why?
I had been physically abused for running this organization and men trying to do corrective rape with me and saying, oh, you consider yourself a woman. Why don't I have sex with you to prove that you're a woman and things like that? And I had been attacked before. But the last straw was people actually said they wanted to burn down our house whilst we were inside. And then I thought, okay, I mean, it's one thing me dying over this, but I don't want my parents to get into trouble because of me.
So your parents were getting death threats over your involvement and activism around being intersex.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, when you had decided to come to the U.S., your dad had just received his pension, and instead of using it for retirement, he gave the money to you to use for a plane ticket to fly to the U.S. What did that mean to you?
I think that is the reason why I wake up in the morning every day. He would give anything for my happiness. And that makes me feel very strong. And I want him to see that I appreciate it. And I see him. And I see that kind of love.
What was it like to move to the U.S.?
I moved to America in 2016 in August. I landed in L.A. and I had $60 in my purse when I landed in L.A. And then I got out, bought a SIM card for my phone, and I Googled where the L.A. LGBT Center was. And then I took a taxi and went to L.A. LGBT Center. And I said, hi, my name is Tatiana. I'm an activist, and I'm want to seek asylum. And I don't have a place to live, and I don't have food. And please help me. I have no money.
And did you get help?
I did not. I actually slept outside the LA LGBT Center for 2 nights, and we tried to reach out to shelters that were around that center, and they were all full. So I slept outside and wrote on Facebook asking for help, and then a stranger saw my post and said, your best bet would be New York, so what I can do for you is buy you a ticket so that you fly to New York and try and find some help.
Did you get asylum here in the U.S.?
It is still pending, but I was able to apply for it and file.
But you found help and assistance in New York once you got there?
Yes, I did.
Have you been able to visit Zimbabwe since you left?
I have not.
And when's the last time you saw your parents?
2016 in August, the day that they took me to the airport.
How often do you talk to them?
I speak to my parents every day. Thank God for WhatsApp.
I want to play a clip from a documentary you were in. It's called She's Not a Boy. And these are people at the New York Pride Parade, and they were asked if they knew what the I means in LGBTQI.
I only know what LGBTQ is. I don't know the I.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do know that it means intersex, but I've never, like, researched too much about it.
Like, we know, like, the basics of it.
The LGBTQ.
We don't know, like the whole variety of that.
Did that lack of understanding and knowledge, did that surprise you?
It surprised me totally. Back when I was in Zimbabwe, America for me was, Obama is president and there are transgender people that are being shown on TV shows and Caitlyn Jenner is being celebrated and things like that. And I thought, this is a country that I can go to and it's going to be very open-minded and welcoming to me being intersex. And they are definitely going to want to know more. And I'm sure there are plenty of intersex people there that are being celebrated. And when I moved here, I literally had a rude awakening because intersex was still just as silent as back in Africa.
You know, you've been in the U.S. For a while now, and despite not being able to be with your family and all the hardships you've been through here, are there parts of your life here in the U.S. that make you glad you fled Zimbabwe?
The freedom of speech. The fact that I can be on a radio show freely like this and walking outside and not caring who's going to hear it and if I'm going to be into trouble, because those are the things that you have to deal with when you're back in Zimbabwe. If you go on a public platform, you know you're going to be attacked afterwards. So I'm very glad that I came to this country because the freedom of speech is really, really the best gift that Americans have.
Tatiana Inwaru is an intersex woman who fled her home country of Zimbabwe to seek asylum in America. Thanks a lot, Tatiana.
Thank you so much for having me.